Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Yevameis Pei Gimel. We are on the last two words of Pei Beis and Beis. Amar Rav. In the Mishnah we learned about a non-dragonous, this fellow who exhibits both Simonim, Zachar and Akeva, by the way. It happens. There's a fellow who learns with us the Daf Yomi at night, and he's an expert Moel, and he was telling us that when they were in training to become a Moel, they took him to the hospital, to the newborn ward, and he was shown an androgynous newborn, a baby with both simonim, Zachar and Akeva, so it actually happens. So what is the status? How do we consider him? Is he considered a Zachar or an Akeva? At the end of yesterday's daf, we concluded that it appears from the Lashon in the Mishnah that indeed the male element within him prevails, so to speak. That's paramount, and the female aspect of this fellow is sort of bottle. It's not really reckoned with. We consider him a vada, a zachar, to the extent that he can marry, and if he's a kohen, can feed his wife truma min atur. That was Rabbi Yechonon's shita, and then indeed is indicative from the Lashon of the Mishnah, which says androgynous noise can marry. Amar Rav, we should know, lesser lemas nisen. The Mishnah does not stand. The Mishnah is sort of put aside, mikami brisa, on account of the brisa. In the brisa, we see that Rabbi Yosi doesn't necessarily take on such a clear-cut approach when it comes to this androgynous individual. Rather, he takes into account both aspects of this fellow, the Zachar aspect and the Nekeva aspect, which really results in a stalemate. He's a Safek. We're not sure how to classify him. The Sanya. Rabbi Yosi, Eimer androgynous, Briya Bifnei Atzmahu. He's his own entity. V'lo Yichru B'chachamim. Chacham could not determine whether to classify him as a Zachar or Nekeva. Im Zachar, Im Nekeva. That's Rav's conclusion. We have a stira between the Mishnah, where Rabbi Yosi seems to hold that a androgynous is considered a Zachar Vadai, whereas in the Braisa, he is a Safik. So we do away with the Mishnah on account of the Braisa, and we treat him as a Safik. Says the Gemara, Adrabah, maybe the other way around, delete the Braisa in the face of the Mishnah. Lesa le Braisa, mikami masnisen. Answers the Gemara, you know why we go this way? Midishavke, Rabbi Yosi le Barzuge. In contrast to the Mishnah, where Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon, his partner, got up and said the halacha together, Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon are the chavrusa here, and they speak together, but in the Braisa, he sort of went off to the side on his own. In the Braisa, we have no mention of Rabbi Shimon, who should have been together with Rabbi Yosi. Apparently, it's because Rabbi Yosi sort of changed his mind, and he abandoned that shita. Shema min hadabei, it's clear from here that he changed his mind and decided that he indeed, an androgynous, is to be treated as a Suffolk. Asks Tesis, and Tesis is Shunim. Well, maybe it's the other way around. Maybe the starting point was the Bryce, and then the Mishnah has the last and final authoritative version. Says the Tesis is Shunim. It doesn't go that way, because the Mishnah comes first, and then comes the Bryce. It's just the way they were sequenced. So apparently the Bryce contains the latest and final version of his opinion. So that's who? That's Rav. Ushmuel Amar Shmuel is a different approach. He says, Lesser Lebraisa Mekamei Masnisen. He prefers the Mishnah's approach. And we do away with the Braisa and we follow the Mishnah. Androgynous is a Vadei Zachar. Adrab, just the opposite. Lesser Lemasnisen Mekamei Lebraisa. Why don't we do away with the Mishnah on account of the Braisa? Who says, you go that way, maybe this way. Because we know that Shmuel himself, the Chayish Lechido, contends with the Das Yachad, meaning he should have reckoned with the Tana of the Mishnah who presents Rabbi Yosi in this manner. Rashi brings the Gemara Nachaylitz and Daf Mem Aleph, but we find that he paskins like even a Das Yachad. So how could he just adopt the Braisa, adopt the Mishnah and ignore the Braisa? Why shouldn't he reckon? Why shouldn't he take into account the Das Yochid, meaning the Tana of the Braisa, the way he packages Rabbi Yosi's Shita? How can you ignore it? Hani Mila, that only works kilo mis akramas nisen. When the Brisa is just kind of adding a chumra, so to speak, on the Mishnah, it's not undoing the Mishnah, but when there's an outright contradiction between a Brisa and the Mishnah prevails. Aval kimis akramas nisen, but when the Mishnah would become uprooted on account of the Brisa, there's a contradiction in versions. Lo yichayish, in that case, he does not reckon in the shita of the Brisa. So we have Rav, who says the final authoritative version of Rabbi Yossi is Androgynous is Suffolk. Shmuel goes with the Mishnah, Androgynous is a Vaday Zohar. Now we have Amri Bey Rav. There were those in the Beis Medrash of Rav, which actually refers to Rav Huna. The Gemara Sanhedrin says that Amri Bey Rav is a reference to Rav Huna, a Talmud of Rav. So he said Mishmei de Rav, once again the name of Rav, different than the way we had Rav up until now. He says Halacha Rav Yossi. Be androgynous. When it comes to androgynous, we follow Rabbi Yossi as per our Mishnah. That is a Vaday Zohar. Uba Harkava, likewise, in the halacha pertaining to Harkava, to planting, grafting, as we're going to see soon, Shemitah related halacha, there as well we follow Rabbi Yossi's Shita. So when it comes to these two items, androgynous and Harkava, we go with Rabbi Yossi. Ushmuel Amar, he added another two. Be Koshi, Ube Kiddush, regarding those two halachas, which we'll explain soon. We follow Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Explains the Gemara. What is androgynous? Hadamar. The halacha that we just had. How do we treat him? Zachar, Nekeva, Safik. Answer is, we follow Rabbi Yossi of the Mishnah. He is a Zachar. Har Kava, what is that? This not. Ein Noitin. You're not meant to plant. Vein Mavrichen. Nor bend a branch into the ground and bring it up back on the other side, which was a form of planting. You don't do that. Vein Marakiva, nor do you graft. Erev Shvi'is, the sixth year, the year before Shemitah, if it's too close to Shemitah, that's called Tosefes Shvi'is. You need at least 30 days. If you don't do these activities, Pachos Meshleshem Yoyim, Lefnei Rosh Hashanah, within 30 days of Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah. V'imnata, let's say he did that. V'imnata, V'hivrich, V'hirke, be planted, too close to Rosh Hashanah, Yakar, he must uproot. Tanakama works with the number 30 days. Rabbi the Omer, you should know that it takes a while for it to catch, call harakava she'ena koletes b'shloisha yamim shuv ena koletes. If this harakava did not really take root within 3 days, shuv ena koletes, it will no longer take root. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you need at least 3 days for it to take root. Rabbi Shimon Aymer shtei shabbos says you need 2 weeks for it to take root. Now, how does this apply practically when it comes to planting before Rosh Hashanah? 3 days, 2 weeks. What is it? What all these things mean? Vamrav Nachman, Omar Rabba, Baravu, Ledivri Omer Shloshim. Let's go back to Tanakama, who mentioned the number 30. According to him, Tzorech Shloshim Ushloshim. He says you can't plant within 30 days, right? So the 30 days prior, immediately prior to Rosh Hashanah, that's Tosefes Shvi'is, in which you're not meant to plant, and therefore you need another 30 before that to allow the item to take root. So in order to proceed properly, you have to actually do this 60 days before Rosh Hashanah. Tzorech shloishim u'shloishim. You need 30 for the taking root, and another 30, which is really deemed Shemitah. L'divro emrim shloisha, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who mentioned the word number 3, according to him, you need a total of how many days before Rosh Hashanah for planting? Tzorech shloisha u'shloishim. You need the 30, which is treated like Rosh Hashanah, and you have to do your planting 3 days before that so that it takes root and it's already on its way come that 30-day mark. Well, they were Omer Shtei Shabbos, according to Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon, who mentioned 2 weeks. According to them, you need Tzorech Shtei Shabbos, 2 weeks for taking root, U'shloshim, and then another 30, which is considered Rosh Shemitah. So basically, you have to plant 45 days before Rosh Hashanah. So when it comes to this halacha of planting so close to the Shemitah year, we follow whose Shita? Rabbi Yossi, who holds it's a 2 week period plus 30. So this is Rav speaking when it comes to androgynous, and this last halacha we follow Rabbi Yossi's Shita. Ushmuel Amar, b'koshi v'kiddush, when it comes to those two items, we follow Rabbi Yossi. What is koshi? This not. When an Isha is experiencing pain and difficulty prior to childbirth, and she sees dam, she cannot become a zava. Anida, yes, but not zava, because it's blamed on the childbirth, and therefore not attributed to ziva, which is an illness, or something, some abnormality, and here you blame it on the birth, and therefore it doesn't create ziva, tumas ziva. Now, how close, or I should say, how far away, how far before that birth, can we blame it on the upcoming birth? In which case, she will not be a zava, even if she sees dam. This nam, kama yehi kishuya, how far away? Rabbi Omer, arboim, chamishim yom, even 40 or 50 days prior to childbirth, you can blame it on the birth. Rabbi Omer, daya chadasha, it's enough if it's just that month, meaning the ninth month, and that's it. Rabbi Yesi, Rabbi Shimon Omer, ha'en kishu yosim shtesha bosses, at most 2 weeks. Same number that they had by the Arkava, interesting. So Shmuel says, when it comes to this halacha of Kishoy, we go with Rabbi Yasi's number, with his 2 weeks. Kiddush, what is that? It's not. Hamesachech gafnei al gabei tevuos shechaveroi. He lets his vines linger over the neighbor's tevuah, which in effect makes it kalaim. Hareze kiddush. Kiddush is lashon apasik, peng tiktash hamaleya, a lashon of becoming aser. So you have kiddush like in a positive sense, kedusha, and you have kedusha in a negative sense. It separates it. You cannot partake. You have to burn it. V'chai b'chari yisai, who's responsible? The vine fellow. Look what you did. You made his tfua asur. Divir Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yisrael, Shimon, Omrim, nothing happens. Ein adam oyser dove she'en eshaloi. One doesn't have the ability to apply iser to something which doesn't belong to him, and the neighbor is safe. So Shmuel tells us that when it comes to these two halachas, Kishoy and Kiddush, we follow Rabbi Yisrael Shita. Asks Tosis, interesting kasha. Really? Let's say I take a piece of chalif, or a piece of nevela, and throw it to the friend's pot, into his chont. It makes it aser. What do you mean? Va'imari, says Tosis, is a big difference. A fundamental distinction between two cases. He says over here, it's dover hatoli b'machshava. That's when we apply this formula, something which is triggered by the thought process, by one's decision-making process. You don't have that ability when it comes to your friend's item. Kelaim is something which pertains to machshava. He brings a Mishnah. Even if you notice some kelaim going on, if you're going to go and uproot it, it doesn't become asur. Only if you resign to leave it that way, then it becomes asur. It's considered kelaim. So here, the actual geffen, lying of the other one's tefillah, won't make it asur if you plan on retrieving it. What makes it asur? Your decision. Your machshava, I'm going to leave it there. Oh, that machshava cannot affect your friend's property. Ein adam oyser dove she'en eshaloi, as opposed to nevela, chazer. It's a metzis. It's reality. It's something unkosher sitting in this person's pot. So whether it's yours or his, it has the same effect. Interesting, I once heard that in the yeshiva in Lakewood. They once had this minion, it was an unauthorized minion in the dormitory. And I heard that the psak was, the fellows wanted to walk by the people davening Shemoneh Esrei, not meant to walk within 4 amos of a mespala because of the presence of Shechina, because they walk in and out of the rooms, which was right in front of the minion taking place. So I remember the psak was that you can do it, you can ignore the daveners because they have no permission to daven there. They can't affect the makam, making it a makam tefillah, and it's rooted in this Gemara. Ein adam oyser dove she'en eshaloi. I don't know if it's halacha l'maisa in all situations, but interesting, the concept is pretty much related that you cannot affect, you can't change the status if it's done without permission. Okay, so we have Rav who says, we follow Rav Yosi by Adroigness and Arukava. We have Shmuel who says, we follow Rav Yosi by Kiddush and Kishu. What about Rav and Shmuel's cases and vice versa? Iboilu. Bandroigness Maliam Shmuel. What is Shmuel's opinion when it comes to Adroigness? Tashma, the Omar Shmuel Rav Anan, Lesel Abraisa Mekame Masnisen. Oh, we delete the Braisa in face of the Mishnah. Basically, we follow the Mishnah's version of Rabbi Yosi that Androgynous is a Vadei Zachar. What about Harkova and that Halacha? Maliyam Shmuel, what would Shmuel's opinion be? Tashma, once again, the Omar Shmuel Rav Anan, Tani, Kiman the Omar Shleisha Ushleishim. You can follow that Shita, who says it's 3 and 30. This is Shita's Rabbi Yehuda. Apparently, he won't follow Rabbi Yosi in this case. Now, what vice versa? What about Rav's opinion in Shmuel's situations? Koishi, in the halacha of the Koishi with the Isha there, Mal Yom Rav, what would Rav's opinion be? There, take it, we leave it standing unresolved. What about by Kiddush, in the case of the Kalaim? Mal Yom Rav, what would Rav's opinion be there? Amar Yosef Tashma, I have a good right. You see, who was quoting Rav? It was Amri Be Rav, as we mentioned. Amri Be Rav is Rav Huna, the Talmud of Rav. So here we go. Amar Rav Yosef Tashma, listen to this right. Amar Rav Huna, same person. Amar Rav Huna, the name of Rav. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Ein Alach Rav Yosi. When it comes to Kiddush, we don't follow Rav Yosi, we follow Rav Meir. Actually, you can affect Iser, even if it's your friend's property. Only Abaye. Why do you follow this version of Rav? My Chazis, the Sam Chasaha. Why follow Rav Huna, Amar Rav? Sumeichah, follow Rav Adam, Amar Rav. Amar Rav Adam, Amar Rav. Halach Rav Yosi. We do follow Rav Yosi when it comes to Kalayim. Answers the Gemara, well, that's Rav Adam or Rav. He was speaking about who? Amri Be Rav, which is Rav Huna. No, and Rav Huna says, name of Rav, we don't follow Rav Yosi's Shita. Answers the Gemara, who is Amri Be Rav? Manu, who's that? That's Rav Huna. Rav Huna, Amr. Rav Huna just told us, in Allah, we don't follow Rav Yosi when it comes to Kalayim. So bottom line is, we have Rav, we have Shmuel. They both follow Rav Yosi in certain instances. They speak about androgynous, that's the Allah of the Mishnah. We treat him as a Zohar Vada, he can marry. If one interacts with him inappropriately, there's skill involved, just like interacting with a man. We have the Aloch of Harkava pertaining to Shemitah, we have Aloch of Koishi pertaining to the Isha Zava, and Kiddush pertaining to Isser Kalayim. Let's go back to the Mishnah where we discussed the Tumtum case as well, also a very unique phenomenon. His gender signs are concealed and covered up. Rabbi Daimer Tumtum should not do Chalitza if he is a Yavam because he is, in effect, a sarus. He's lacking the hormonal ability to produce children, and therefore, he has no business doing chalitza, which is only meant for a fellow who can rebuild his brother's home. Amar Avami. Really? My Ovid Le Rab Yudah. What should we going to do with the following story? Le Tumtum, this fellow who was a Tumtum, the Biri from this town, Biri, the Osvu Abe Kurs, they put him on some seat, they gave him operation, the Ikra, and he was sort of uncovered, and guess what? He had 7 children. Apparently, he can bear children. Answers the Gemara. Rabbi Yuda. Amalach. What would Rabbi Yuda respond to that story? Chazer Abonav. Go investigate. Go figure out where those children are from because he, in fact, does not have the ability to bear children. That's Rabbi Yuda's Shita. Tumtum is tantamount with Saris. No children. But we have Rabbi Yasi, the son of Rabbi Yuda, who takes a slightly different approach. He says, you know, sometimes that is so, but sometimes not. It's a suffix. Tanya, we have a brisa, we have Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yudah Omer, Tumtum, lo yachlitz. A Tumtum who's still covered up. In that case, of course, he shouldn't do chalitza. You know why? Because we have no idea what's going on. Shema yikarav, and if it's a saris chama, he might be discovered to be a saris chama, a natural saris who can't have children. He has no business doing chalitza. One second. What do you mean to say? Don't do chalitza because he's for sure a zachar, in which case he's a saris. We don't even know what you're going to discover beneath that skin. Atu called the mikra. Do you mean to say everybody that's torn open zachar, how he will be discovered as a zachar? What did he mean to say? He meant like this. Hachikamra. Sure. There are two options. There are two possibilities that might develop. Shema yikara v'nimta nekeva. Look, this tumtum who's still concealed and covered up has no business doing chalitza. You know why there's a sfek? You have a double suffix against you. You have two reasons why chalitza is not applicable. Number one, shema yikara v'nimta nekeva. He might be discovered as a nekeva. That's first of all. Right? There's always a chance. He might not even be a zachar. Even if he should be a zachar, shema yimatz a saris chama. He might turn out to be a saris chama who can't rebuild his brother's home. In any case, doesn't do chalitza. So bottom line is, Rabbi Yosi is telling us like this: when he's in his natural state, his simanim are covered up, concealed. There's no point in doing chalitza. You have a double decker suffix against you. He might be in a keva. Even if he's a zachar, could be he's unfit for children, he's not a roi to do chalitz. But, let's say he was discovered to be as a zachar. He was nikra v'nimtza zachar. In that case, Rabbi Yossi seems to take a slightly different approach than his father. You see, his father says, Tumtum is a saris, absolute fact. Rabbi Yossi says, well, he might be a zachar and might be a saris chama, which sounds like even if he's a zachar, it isn't absolute that he's a saris. He might be a saris, might not. So that's the nuance of a nafka mina here between Rabbi Yossi and his father. Might be, what's the difference between two shitas? They seem to be identical shitas. Amarava, there is a nafka mina. Is he a suffix saris or a vade saris? Father, Rabbi Yehuda says, he's a vade saris. He has no business doing chalitza, even if he's the only brother in town. He's not capable of yibo, not capable of chalitza. Rabbi Yehuda says, look, we don't know. Sometimes these fellows are able to bear children, sometimes not. There's nobody else around, he should definitely do the chalitza. Amarava, live so b'makim achim. Suppose there are other brothers aside from him that can do the yibum. And he decided, I'm jumping in, I'm doing the chalitza. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he's not the parsha. He doesn't have the ability to do chalitza. He's a saris vade, he won't disqualify the yivama to the other brothers. Whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, he will. Because we never know. He might be just fine. He might be able to bear children, in which case his chalitza is valid, is effective, and will disqualify the Yevama from marrying the other brothers. That's one nafka mina. So it's based on the question of whether he's suffik or vade. Number two, another nafka mina that falls out of this is v'lachlitz shloi b'mokim achen. It could be, let's say there are no brothers around aside from him. Should he bother doing chalitza? According to Rabbi Yehuda, no point. He's a vade saris who's potter. According to Rabbi Yehuda, go ahead and do it. What do you have to lose? So bottom line is, we discussed tumtum, whose simani zachar nekeva, or I should say unknown simanim are covered up. So in his current state, there's no point in doing yibum or chalitza because there's a svek sveka. There are two possibilities against him. Whereas if he was nikra v'nimtza zachar, Rabbi Yehuda says, well, he's a saris, potter from yibum or chalitza. Rabbi Yehuda says, do it misafik. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda. Let's go back to the androgynous. We conclude that androgynous has a din of a zachar. The male aspect of him is within him is paramount. The zachar component prevails. So although he has the nikeva presentation as well, that's sort of an add-on. It's not really reckoned with. It's tuffel, it's bottle to the ikar presentation as a zachar. If he marries, he can feed his wife truma. If one interacts with him inappropriately, it is treated like a mishgav zachor and there's skila as a consequence. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Abba Achva, he was the brother of Rav Yehuda bar Zavti, Amar Rav Yehuda bar Rav. Here comes a chiddush. Androgynous. If one interacts with him inappropriately, chayov lo skila mishtei mekoymos. Whether the interaction took place in the makam that one would interact with a zachar from the back, or in the makam of the nakvas that he has, like in a keva. Either way, he has committed mishgav zachar. That's a chiddush that we consider the ma'aser iser, even though it's in the nakvas, which, as we just explained, is sort of secondary, and we don't really reckon with it in terms of determining his gender. But the nakvas is also a way of interacting with him as a mishkav zachor, and there is skila as a consequence. That's one approach. And this is going to be a machlekes tanoim. The other sheet is going to say, no, the fact is he's a zachor. So interaction with him, the way one would interact with a zachor, creates skila. But in the nakvas, in the area that looks like a nakev, that's not considered mishkav zachor. Meisve, here comes a kasha. Rabbi Eliezer Amar, androgynous chayavanov skila kazachor, right? By medvam amurim, when does this apply? Bezachar shalai, only as a male. Avo benakva shalai potter, but as a female, is potter. So how can the amurim say otherwise? Who the Amar Kiyai Tano? He's following a different Tano who disagrees. It's Sani Rismay Aymer. Androgynous, Chayavan Alav Skila, Mishdei Mekoymes, both ways. My time with Rabbi Simoy, you see the Gemara asks on him. This seems to be the Chiddush. If we treat him as a Zohar pertaining to other halachas, to the male aspect within them, within this person, the Zohar component is paramount. That prevails. Why do you reckon with the Inakvus? It's based on a Pasuk. Amarova Bar Hamduri, that was his name. Asbrali, he explained it to me. He showed me a Pasuk. A Ribuy. Ve'ez Zohar. We have this type of Zohar. Ve'ez Zohar. So Rashi learns the drasha like this. A fellow who has mishkavei isha, he has two types of mishkaveis, two types of interaction. He has a zachar aspect and a nekeva aspect. This fellow should not be interacted with. So ve'ezachar le'sishkav mishkavei isha means that we have a zachar who has both possibilities. Ezehu zachar, who is the zachar sheyesh bo shtei mishkaveis, who has both possibilities? Havayim is androgynous. And Torah is telling you le'sishkav. Any type of interaction, any type of mishkav is considered skila. So that's the mocker to this concept. It's a ribuy. For Rabbanan, they respond by saying, no, Avagav, the Isbe Yishnei Mishkavis. Even if this fellow has two possibilities, Es Zachar Ksiv, look, the Pasuk starts with Ve'ez Zachar to tell you, look, even this fellow who has Mishkevei Yishu, who has both concepts, the Chiyav is only by the Ve'ez Zachar, in the Zachars, as one would interact with a male. Now the Kasha is, Rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, Zachar Greda Minalu. You see, according to Rabbi Simai, the pasuk reads as follows: Ve'ez zachar, any type of male, any type of zachar, ordinary or unconventional, androgynous, there is skila by interacting with him. And the pasuk continues: Mishkevei isha, to add even this androgynous, any method of mishkav carries skila. So according to Rabbi Simai, the pasuk sort of covers all the bases. A regular case, the abnormal case as well. Going to Rabbanan, the word Ve'ez Zachar is coming to tell you that a fellow who's unique in this sense, because he has Mishkev, he has both possibilities, he's not dragonous. The Chiyav is strictly limited to Ve'ez Zachar and the Zachars. So what about a regular person? There's no mention of a regular person. We only spoke about unconventional situations. The Mishkev Isha fellow, what about a regular Zachar? Rabbanan, according to them, Zachar Greidim Nalu. What about a regular man? How do we know the Mishkav Zohar applies to a regular person? The answer is, according to Bach's Gersum, mi ve'es. It says, ve'es Zohar le'sishkav, so the es is coming to add a regular Zohar. Asks the Gemara, be'isha shalei kedaka minolo. How do we know that, another halacha, that interacting with an erev, an isha, a woman, in the abnormal way, shalei kedaka, how do we know that's also considered arayis? Their answer is, mi ve'isha. And according to some Farsha, it means that the second mentioning of the word Isha, the word Isha in this Pasuk, Ve'ez Zachar Le'sishkav Mishkavei Isha, it could have just said Mishkavei, why Isha, to include even an Isha Shalai Kedarka as well. So bottom line is, it seems that the going thought here is that an androgynous is considered a Zachar Vada. In fact, there is skila for interacting with him as married. If it would not be a Vade Zohar, if he's only Suffolk Zohar, there wouldn't be Skila. So we're going with that route, that androgynous is a Zohar, but still says the Gemara, you know what? There are some exceptions. Although we treat him as a Zohar, we ignore the Nekeva aspect. But you know, he's not 100% Zohar. There's something amiss. He does have some, you know, interfering elements here. And therefore, when it comes to other halachas, like a carbon on the Mizbeach, where we need a pure Zachar, this animal who's not drinking this, won't work. Amar Rav Shezbi, Amar Rav Chisda, Loi L'Koil, not pertaining to every single halach in the Torah, Amar Rav Elezer, androgynous Zachar Ma'alyu. An androgynous is considered a full-fledged, 100% bona fide Zachar. Yes, regarding marriage. Yes, regarding Skila. But not when it comes to Karbanis. Shema Ta'imer came, because otherwise, B'Megudoshin, when it comes to being Magdash HaBehema for a carbon yid kaddish, it should become kaddish and go bring it on the Mizbech. And we know that it's not true. Umanal and delay kaddish. How do you know it's not? So the Tanna Rabbanan, listen to this price. We start by speaking about a bird. When it comes to a bird, there is no mention of the pasuk of Zachar. So all works. Hanirba. V'hamukza. We're going to have a list of psulim, which make the bird unfit for carbon. And then we're going to get to the Tumtum and Adreganus. Hanirba, a bird which was interacted with as married. V'hamukza was set aside for Vedazara. V'hanevad was actually worshipped for Vedazara. V'hanesnan was gifted to an immoral woman. Umechir was exchanged for a dog. V'tumtum v'adreganus. These types of gender situations by the birds. Mitamen begodim abesaplia. So now you take this bird, and the kohen would do melika. Right? This wasn't a conventional shechita. He would do it by way of his fingernail, which only works. It's only a method which is exclusive to korbanos. So now this bird who was not fit for a korban went through the melika process. We treat him like a dead bird, like an avela, in which case when a person eats that flesh, and it's in his base abli, in his throat while he's swallowing, his begadim become tummy. That's a unique concept of tumma applicable to dead birds. So according to Tanakama, that's because all these birds are not roi for carbon, and therefore they're treated like an avela after having undergone an unauthorized and an improper, untimely malik. Rabbi Elazar Omer, I take exception to two cases, tumtum vadragonus. And those ain metamen begodim beisabliya, they're not tummy. You know why? Because they're perfectly kosher, according to one pshat in the Tosfos. A bird doesn't have to be a pure zachar, pure nekeva. Shoyer Blazer Omer, Blazer will explain himself and say like this: Kol makim shenema zachar nekeva. Whenever the pasuk mentions, singles out, highlights zachar or nekeva, like by the animal karbonis, then you know atamaitzi tumtum vadragnis benem. You have to deduct the tumtum and adrenus, they're not pure zachar nekeva. As opposed to v'oif, a bird, hoi v'loi nemar by zachar nekeva, you don't have a mention of zachar nekeva in that parasha. Iyata moitzi, tumtum, v'adrenus, my name, you don't have to discount these types of birds. Bottom line is, when it comes to kerbonis, even Rabbi Lezer, who now Mishnah, considers a adrenus to be a zachar pertaining to skila, pertaining to marriage and truma. But not when it comes to kerbonis, apparently because when the pasuk uses the term zachar or nekeva, it means absolute zachar, absolute nekeva, unaffected by any other competing components. Omar b'Nachman bar Yitzchak, I'll even prove it to you from another halacha. Afa namen tanina, we have the same in another place. Rav Lezo Omer, hakilayim utreifa v'yaitzedayfen v'tumt v'adreganus loy kedoshin v'loy mekachin. All these variations, all these types of unconventional animals, kalayim, born from a mixture, utreifa, an animal with a critical internal wound, v'yitzedayfen, an animal born by a cesarean, tumtum, his simanim are covered up, andragonus, combined male-female animal. In all these cases, there is no kedusha applicable with respect to being a carbon l'mizbeach. Loi kedushin, they can't become kadosh. V'loi mikach, nor can they have their kedusha. If somehow they got kedusha, they can't impart it. They can't transfer it to something else. Now, what does this mean? Not kadosh, I can't give kedusha. V'amrashmo, the brisa means like this. Of course, you can't be mekadosh or tumtum or androgynous outright, as we explained, because it's not a zachar nekeva. So it's not going to have kedushas mizbeach. Well, sure, it belongs to Hegdish. It's Hegdish's property, like their car. But it's not considered something which is kedushas mizbeach, kedushas haguf, inherently kaddish, with all the halachas of kedusha. That's pashut. The chiddush is loy kedushin b'tmura. Even if he should choose to make it into a tmura, so he has a proper carbon stand again. He wants to say, look, I have this tumtum, or andragnus, to which I want to transfer kedusha from the original carbon. That's called timura. Typically, even if the newcomer is a balmum, he's fully blemished, we have a pasuk that tells you that timura works even by a balmum. Here it's different. Now these items are not remotely suitable for carbon, and therefore they can't even attract Kedushas Tmura. V'loy mekachin means Boise Tmura. Suppose somehow this androgynous became Kaddish. Rashi says it was born to an animal which was Kaddish, so it wasn't its own Kedusha. It got Kedusha from its parent animal. And now you want to sort of transfer that Kedusha to a new animal through Tmura process. Again, it doesn't work. Because as we explained, the tumtum, the androgynous, and likewise the other items, Kalim and Trefin, Yitzidefin, are not receptacles to Kedushas Mizbeach. Shmamino, this is a clear raya that even according to Rabbi Elazar, when it comes to carbon-related discussions, androgynous, tumtum don't qualify. Okay, so bottom line is, we discussed the androgynous and the tumtum. So pertaining to androgynous, we took the perspective that androgynous is a vadei zachar. He can marry, feed his wife truma deraisa. If one interacts with him, there is skila. There's machlekes whether it's shtei mekoymes or makom echad. But when it comes to karbonis, over there you need a pure unadulterated zachar or pure nekeva, and therefore these animals don't qualify. When it comes to tumtum, we have another shiloh. Perhaps he's a saris who can't really bear children, in which case he's patted from yibam machalitza. Rabbi Yehuda says he's an absolute saris, totally disqualified. Rabbi Yehuda says he's a safek. Nobody else around, let him do the chalitza. What do you have to lose? Kol tov and hatzlacha rabbah.